Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in Florida, sitting at the turquoise desk overlooking Boca Ciega Bay. And this is Access Astrology, where three astrologers gather online every week to take your questions, to talk about the heavens, to help you figure out how to work with the energy above so that you can maximize and flow with it. So I'm waiting for Heather and Mark to show up. We did have a text earlier saying they were coming, so I'm assuming they're going to get here. There's a lot of Neptune in the sky right now. So I was sitting here kind of hanging out, dozing a little bit a minute ago, and I'm like, I got the show. Gotta be in, show up. I think I see Mark coming in. Hang on, let me turn him on. Is that Mark? Hi, is that you?
This is Heather, and...
Hi, Heather. That's
is Mark
you.
There,
okay.
Too?
No, that's you. Sorry. I thought it, I recognize the number. Yeah.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm good. It's a big old Neptune week, man. I'm just doing the Neptune.
It is.
Yeah.
How is your cat report?
Cat report is great. They're all walking around. They're wiggling. They're not very steady on their feet yet, but they're moving and climbing things and drinking water and eating food. You know, Murray was flapping away at the water bowl the other day, and I'm like, well, look at you. You're drinking the water. Okay. So.
And how old are your kittens now? About a week and a half, 2 weeks old?
No, they're 3.5 weeks
old.
Yeah. Yeah, so this
getting
is when
there.
They get their, yeah, their eyes are all open. They're getting their weight, their legs, and they're pretty tippy over still, but they're moving around. So, and I open the door, and they all look at me like, oh, who are you? You know, so we're having close encounters of a humankind. And Mama Betty's doing well. She definitely likes to get out of the crate and have her, I give her treats, cat treats. So she's totally, yeah. It's kind of like cocktails. At 9 o'clock, I give Remo treats, and it gave her treats, and she gets them now. Yeah, she loves the treats. Little Temptations and Greenies. So she's quite happy. But, yeah, it's good. They're doing well, and they're very funny and definitely all getting bigger and little roly-poly and just adorable. So nothing like a kitten, you know.
Nothing like a kitten.
They've stopped squealing when I pick them up. You know, they used to go, oh, now they're kind of like, oh, we're flying around. We're flying around in the giant's arms. Okay, cool, you know. So there seems to be calmness.
They're landing.
They're landing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so what a week it is. Tomorrow with that wild, it's going to be 2/22/2022 on Tuesday, the Tuesday. And it's also America's Pluto return. Let's get that right. Where Pluto comes back to where it was the day our country was born. And this week with that Venus, Mars, and Pluto coming to conjunct that point next week, all in Capricorn, I gather Putin started invading the two parts of the Ukraine that it thinks are breakaway and want to be part of Russia. And so the invasion begins. And, you know, part of the lineup with that Capricorn is the desire to control. And to be controlled, to control the, you know, if I'm using it, I'm feeling the need to organize things, and I do not normally feel the need to organize, but I've been organizing closets and drawers and things like that. In that sense of how do we use that Capricornian control and organization in different ways other than controlling a nearby country or trying to control one another in this process? It's kind of a tricky week. You know, I see so much doom and gloom out there amongst the young astrologers on America's Pluto return, and I'm not to say it's not heavy duty, but I keep coming back to this is when our country was born, not when it died, and a chance for rebirth is powerful during this Pluto, this year-long Pluto return.
Right.
What are you seeing on that, Anne?
I agree, and Mark joined us. So, Mark, you're out there?
Oh, good.
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Hi, welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's all that doom and gloom. I mean, I think there's a level of alarm, but it's also they haven't really lived through a Pluto transit. Pluto transits don't kill you. You know, it's kind of like being waterboarded in Gitmo. They don't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You live through them. And all of Europe.
Being waterboarded.
You know, I mean, all of Europe, China, Egypt, they're all still here. There's people in all those countries. The rise of the Roman Empire, the rise of the British Empire, the rise of China, the rise of Portugal, the rise of Netherlands. They all ruled the world at one point, or they all ruled the seas. So, you know, it's not doom and gloom. It's, you know, what are you going to do for me lately? And it's an interesting Pluto return because definitely there's three parts to it. I don't think it's doom and gloom. I think it's an opportunity to revision. But we recognize that some of the younger ones have Pluto in Libra, so they're having the square. The Pluto in Scorpio ones are having the sextile, and the Pluto in Sag ones are having the inconjunct. So they're not necessarily experiencing Pluto the way, say, the Pluto and Cancer kids have, which were the World War II. I mean, a lot of them are dying now. And the Pluto and Leo people that are saying, hey, you know, Pluto's transformative and optimistic. Right now it's saying, you know, you have to be responsible for stuff. But, yeah, I haven't really been reading what's out there, so it's interesting to hear it's all doom and gloom. Because I don't really think it is. I mean, all these other
countries. I don't think so either. I'm always surprised when I see it, you know. But the America's progressed moon is now at 18 Aquarius. We're coming back to a progressed lunar return. And Saturn is within a degree of our progressed moon. So they're going to conjunct. So it's really asking us to kind of tighten up, look at the details, focus, deal with consequence.
Yeah,
and
take responsibility. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, take responsibility.
Yeah, and Saturn wants us to take responsibility and also work with what's available. In other words, don't be dreaming and idealizing, but just say, what are the options? And some of the options will not be great, but they're options, and they'll all play out in some way. So I think our job is not to promote gloom and doom, but to say, let's get real.
Right.
And there is such a thing as a Pluto return. There, you know, it takes its time going around, but it comes around. All these things come around. They eventually all have a return. And our job is to deal with each return and take the good with the bad.
Right, right.
And also remember that what's good for one part of the country is not necessarily good for the other part.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find a way to meet in the middle.
And work with it on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And also, when we think of Pluto, I mean, the other part of it is, what sign is Saturn in? Saturn's in his rulership. He's in Aquarius. So he's not an unhappy Saturn. He's a, what's your responsibility to the group, to the community, to the collective? Because we're working with that vision of Saturn in Aquarius. So. Yeah, I think it's important, you know. So.
And I think that's an important question. I'd like to put out a request for prayer tonight for Alan Oaken, who has in the hospital with, you know, the great astrologer friend of ours, who is in the hospital with COVID and on a ventilator tonight. And in Indonesia. And he seems to be responding well to some of the medicine. His oxygen levels are coming up, but it's kind of tight. So if anybody can send him extra love and support and encouragement to his immune system, please do.
And where is he in this? Did you say Indonesia?
Indonesia.
Yeah, he lives in Bali. And he's been working with a lot of Chinese astrology students and living over in Indonesia happily, has a home, but is now very sick. And we just want to see him make it through.
He's in his 70s, right? Memory serves me.
70.
He had his,
And, you know, he's no spring chicken. No spring chicken. I remember how much fun his 60th birthday party was, I tell you what. But it was in the, and he has his Gemini moon, and it's the lungs. But mm-hmm. I'm hoping that his natural feisty Aries side kicks in and, you know, rebels. The trick with, I think that one of the issues for a lot of people with, you know, with COVID difficulties, and he had all his shots, is mm-hmm. that the immune system can be overstrong and kick mm-hmm. in overtime. And I think mm-hmm. that
right.
may be what's going on here.
Many years ago, you and Alan hung out in Santa Fe. As
mm-hmm. Yeah, we had our wedding reception there.
Yeah.
And Ariel, Alan, and I were the ones, we used to work together, the Aries trio. He was an Aries sun, I'm Aries moon. She's an Aries ascendant. And we did, you know, brought our very different approaches and did workshops together and once a month meeting mm-hmm. at, you know, talk. And that's where I had, you know, started the idea of working with other astrologers as and bringing our different perspectives, which I think is so helpful and useful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how
right.
you got us together. You
mm-hmm.
it was your idea. That was how
mm-hmm.
you got us together. You came
yep.
to New York. And
I said, hey, why aren't people cooperating here? Why aren't they collaborating? And you guys said, okay. Yeah, we could do that. We could do that, you said. So, and then
yeah.
we have been ever since.
Well, to hear that, you know, it's also far. Well, I mean, I guess it's home for him. I mean, I'm
mm-hmm.
like, God, that's far from home, but that is his home, so it's not far from
right.
home from him.
You know, yeah. he's hasn't left it for the last couple of years, not since the outbreak began, but he was living there for years before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we keep our fingers crossed that something happens there.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody, you know, it seems like that we're still this Venus-Pluto conjunction coming up on March 3rd is the last pass that's happened of the third of the three conjunctions since December. And I know a lot of people on death watch with relatives at the moment, you know, some from COVID,
yeah.
but mostly just old age or something.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
yeah,
too?
My uncle Neil,
mm-hmm.
they just, you know, they said to him, there's nothing they can do anymore, so he's
mm-hmm.
on. He's on hospice, and when I talked to him this weekend, he was like, fading fast, Ann. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was my mother's younger brother, and he and I, we're in the same place in her chart. You know, he's her
mm-hmm.
fifth house brother,
mm-hmm.
and I'm her first fifth house child, right, her first child. So we've
mm-hmm.
had a really interesting relationship over the years, because
mm-hmm.
he's like 15 years older than me, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's a good guy. Although he is a Trumper, you know. So. But I got him so mad at me. I got him so mad at me at one point. He hung up on me and he blocked me on Facebook. And the cousins were about Trump, but we got into a fight about it. And his kids were like, what'd you say to him? I said, oh, I did a little pronoun substitution, you know, I mean. and then he wrote me when he was turning 75. He's like, you know, I think we should be friends. And I'm like, you know, I never was mad at you. And, you know, he said something to me and I said something to him. And then my assistant said, oh, he really wrote you a flamer. And he said, I'm sorry I wrote you a bad email. I said, I didn't read it. Rose told me it was mean, so I didn't read it. I don't know what you said to me. I do know your Facebook blocked me, though. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so we're chuckling now. You know, it's all good. It's Facebook or Trump. Trump is certainly a force for nature, but he's also a very conservative, you know, always been a conservative guy. So, what are you gonna do? Still my Uncle Neil. So, but yeah, we've had a few contretemps over the time because we both have that Virgo Scorpio energy in our charts. So, but what are you going to do? Well, he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Paul Farmer died last night also, a Scorpio probably with a moon in Virgo, we don't know, who pioneered global health. He set up a huge set of clinics down in, when he was going to medical school at Harvard, down in Haiti. And he then went over to Rwanda and set up a huge health care system over there and has really been pushing, you know, the responsibility of community. And he also has a PhD in anthropology in the process, how to bring high-quality health care to some of the world's poorest people. And he was in Rwanda teaching and just died in his sleep at only 62 last night.
Mm-hmm.
The book Mountains, Beyond Mountains, was about his work in Haiti, and it's a really pretty spectacular book on the role of public
health. Yeah, it is a big, it's a big departure week. And obviously if we have a war in a couple of days, I think he rolls on the 22nd, 23rd myself.
Mm-hmm.
They said he's going into the separate parts. But, you know, you look at the aspects. There's a lot of really nasty aspects this week, especially the 22nd and the 23rd.
And I worry about the 3rd with that Pluto, the exact Pluto-Venus-Mars lineup under the new moon in Pisces, and then the moon goes into Aries. So, So we would just want to send love and support to everybody facing the tough edges.
Yeah, because people are really working on very deep levels right now and can be feeling really pretty overwhelmed about things. So, all part of the journey, all part of the journey. And what are we? Where are we headed with it? So, but it's an interesting.
And for any of us. You know, like how do we handle it in our home life this week? I'd say, you know, when you don't know what else to do and the world feels difficult, organize a drawer. Just, like, get somewhere. Do one little thing and feel like if we can feel a little progress happening, that our spirits can stay present and we can, and if we can do something bigger, hey, great, do it. But this is, you know, how to move. Keep moving in a positive direction this week and use some of this determination and control energy to achieve things that need to be achieved.
Yeah. That's true. Sometimes the world's hard. Mark, what have you been noticing with the energy? You always have a different approach to handling these hard weeks.
Well, this one I feel... The best thing you can do is stay grounded. Because there are a lot of things that we can't control here. And we just have to trust that it's working out.
Right.
And stay grounded and stay sheltered.
Yeah. I'm in a group on, we talk about astrology on Wednesday, you know, every other Wednesday. And last week we did our book sharing. We shared books that we like as astrologers. And somebody had brought out the book Saturn as Melancholy. So it arrived today, and it's probably like 10 inches by 8 inches wide, big hardcover. And it's got all these, you know, Saturn through the centuries, you know, the way they've looked at it. What a great day for this book to arrive in my home.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful book. Who wrote that book?
Saturn is Melancholy. It's anthropologists and art historians. So get up and get
it. Fascinating.
It's sitting right here. It is a republish because it was out of print. It's called Saturn and Melancholy, Studies in the History of Natural Philosophy, Religion, and Art. And it's by Kablansky, Panofsky, and Saxel. So K-L-I-B-A-S-K-Y. And Panofsky and Saxel, Saxl. So it's a new edition. It was originally published years ago. It's a major event that scholars worldwide have been waiting for, almost as great an achievement as its original publication. So, yeah, it's really beautiful, actually. And, you know, if you like Saturn, you know, it's all good. So it is the, it was originally published, I don't see, in 1892. Yeah. Well, actually, the authors are 1892. I take that back. All the authors are dead. The oldest was 1892. I don't see a first publishing, actually, interestingly. But it was also published in German, and it's been translated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the 1964 was the first English edition. But, yeah, it's got some really interesting, you know, Saturnian plates on melancholy and the humors and all that stuff. So it is big book. It is. Let me go to the back. It's 580 pages long.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a big boy. Big boy.
Yeah, well, Saturn deserves it.
We got to honor the old guy. All right. So we want to take a caller because we have a lot
of
stuff up there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's pick a caller.
You're
you
on it,
choose
Heather.
One?
No, you
okay,
can
you want me to take that? There's one up here. Hello, 707-805. This
Hi.
Is Heather. How are you? You're on the air.
Hey, Heather.
How can we help you?
817-64.
Hold on. It is
817-1964. Yes. Torrance,
time.
California. 3:07 p.m.
3:07 p.m. And where in California?
Torrance, California.
Torrance, wonderful. Thank you. And what's your question?
Well, I spoke to you guys about 5 years ago, having nothing to do with family other than my son. That's all good now. But I'm just wondering, I'm kind of not speaking.
We can hardly hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, it's much better.
I'm kind of just because of circumstances that have occurred since probably last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just have defaulted not to speak to my siblings, and I have two sisters,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of includes my mother. And so I'm just wondering, what do you see? How should I approach this, or should I just leave it
mm-hmm.
alone? I feel like I should leave it alone.
You're the one that broke.
And was there a breach in trust? Is that why you backed off
so.
From them?
I felt like it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Saturn's gone into your third house of siblings. Jupiter's in there now, and it looks like you needed to set some firm boundaries on your siblings. And that it looks like the issues of whether or not they can handle boundaries and is one of the issues, that people overstep their boundaries on a regular basis. Next month, your progressed moon goes into Aquarius, and you may kind of stand back and say, okay, you know, it doesn't bother me as much. I'm safe now. We can go back to being more connected, but I don't want to get too close, and I don't really want to talk about it unless you guys want to take responsibility for what you did. That's what I'm saying.
You're so on track. I just feel like I could care less one way or the other.
Right. And so I would say keep that. But, you know, reconsider next month when your progressive moon leaves Capricorn and goes into Aquarius. Anne, what do you hear? What do you say?
Yeah, I think you're not talking to him until next year after your Saturn. I'm getting really bad feedback here. But, yeah, you're having your Saturn return, so this is the time when you're next spring. So this year, I think it's very much about, do I want to bother with them? And as Pluto finishes in conjuncting your sun, you know, there's a lot of story here about, like, well, do you actually need to talk to them? Is it worth it for you? You know, you had the nodes going through house of, I finished the karma with them on some level. So what's my position on that? So I would wait until you feel like talking to them, but it may not be till next spring when you have your Saturn.
Right, and I
think you're actually kind of happy not having them around, right?
Thank you. It's a little bit of a load off, but in a sense, it's kind of, there's a little bit of guilt, like, gosh, all these years you've been doing that and coming back and trying to make things right, and it just falls on deaf ears. So,
you're feeling that as the pattern return moves in, but once it's here, you'll get a great sense of relief that you made the right choices.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, you're not mad at them. You know, light a candle and talk to your guides and send your guides over to talk to them and say, you know, peace be with you, love you, but I'm taking a break and, you know, call me if there's something up. But with Saturn in your third house, it's the house of siblings, so there's a very strong karma around them anyway. And being born in 64, you know, with the Uranus-Pluto-Mercury opposite, Mercury-Pluto does tend to be a little bit, you know, two against one. You know, let's pick on you. And right now, you're just really not in the mood. You're not in the mood for it. So, but as Pluto comes to trine your midheaven next year, I think you'll be like, all right, you know, I'm feeling better. Always helpful to take breaks from people, especially if they're being mean to you. You know, and right now this is a time, and your nodes are on your progressed midheaven, and I see, so there's definitely an energy of, you know, do I want to, you know, it's like when I pulled the chart, that old Red Book column, can this marriage be saved? So it's not that it's bad, it's just, do you want to, right? And I think you're finding the space freeing, and then when you go back after a vacation from them, I think you'll have a different perspective, so.
I don't think it'll hurt you as much. It feels like there's dueling defenses with your Venus and Mars in Cancer natally being trined by Jupiter this year. There's a chance for them for some opening, but I would say, you know, you can tell pretty quickly if they have moved out of pure defense and are into actually taking into consideration what's going on with you and what you need as well as what they need, then you can talk. You know, it's kind of like you see where they, you know, take their temperature and see where they are when you're ready. And if it doesn't feel safe, then back off again. There's no need to kind of be in the midst of that. I just, you know, it feels like there's actually been a lot more room for you when you're not defending against them, that you have more room to have other friendships that really work.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what are you seeing?
Yeah, and as you move past letting go of them and just accept that things are what they are, you'll find new expansion in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your Mars is out of bounds, right? So with a Mars out of bounds in the seventh house, that's either a home run or a line drive into the stands, right? Those are it can really be expressive. So with the moon, the progressed moon having been in Capricorn, you know, the moon was looking at that out of bounds Mars and Venus and going, I need to take corrective action for me. And now as it goes into Aquarius, you're going to be less, your boundaries are going to shift. You're going to be a little more big picture. Let me understand the patterns. And then once that calms down, then we have your Saturn return, which says, okay, what is my karma with these people and what do I want to do with them? But it's good. I think it'll be fine. And I do think when Jupiter goes into in May, it's very, very much a possibility you'll hear from them, especially with something to do with your mom, because Jupiter is going to go into the fourth house, right? So there can be some stuff in May when Jupiter goes into the fourth there. So, from them. Yeah. So good luck with it. Hang in there. Be brave. Is there? Nope. She's still there?
Yep, I think that she is off. And it's our last minute, so we'll wish her well and wish you well.
Wish everyone well.
This is Heather signing off from Montana. And
signing off from Boca Ciega Bay.
Okay, and Mark Waltz signing off from New York City.
Yeah. Have a great week, people. Be gentle out there. It's going to be a little tough. All right, take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.